Alternative Radio.
Hello there, folks, and thank you for listening to the show.
I'm Joanna.
I'm Nate, and this is Stranger Than. Well, this time we are going to release one of our Patreon episodes.
Yes.
Just for the general world to hear. And the only difference is this one will have ad breaks. But aside from the ad breaks, if you join our Patreon, you will get this sort of stuff. This particular episode is about Ed Gein, and it has our friend Alex, who's been on some of our older episodes with us. So we're basically just going to play it how it's recorded, of course, with the exception of the ads. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hello, patrons, and thank you for your support.
Nice to be talking to you again.
This time we have Alex. You may remember him from past episodes.
Hey.
And he's going to help us out here with our chat about Ed Gein and his influence in popular culture. And first off, we're going to go through and talk a bit about who Ed Gein is, just in case you aren't super familiar with the charming, charming man.
Dear God.
So I hope you are ready for some good stuff.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
He was known as the Butcher of Plainfield. He was born in August of 1906 and had a fairly shitty childhood. His mother was a real heavy-handed religious type, always pleasant to be around. She preached to Ed and his older brother about God, about how all women were but her were intrinsically evil, and about how alcohol was bad.
God, just a typical, like, overbearing, awful, manipulative mom.
Yeah, definitely not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Definitely not what you're looking for, like, as a potential mother-in-law. It's like, dude, you're just, not only are you just making this kid's life miserable, like, I'm sure, like, every girl out there would never date him just for that reason.
No. No, not for very long. Not after the first meeting.
No.
I kind of picture Bobby Boucher's mother.
Yeah.
From Waterboy.
I can't remember that movie enough.
That's, I think, a first in Stranger Than History that I have a movie reference that Joanna does not. As a schoolboy, Gein was described as shy and weird. He didn't have many friends, mainly because he got punished by his mother for trying to make friends. Socially, he was not very developed, probably because of the whole thing we just said about his mother, and
right.
So his only social interactions were with his drunken jackass father, his psychopathic mother, and his brother.
She's like the mom from, like, that one, that Eddie's mom from It.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. With a little bit of the girl's dad thrown in there just for good measure.
Right.
April Fool's Day of 1940 came with Gein's father dead of an alcohol-related heart attack. 4 years later, his brother was reported missing. The pair had been burning brush, and the fire got out of hand. The local fire department came, and everything got taken care of, so they put out the fire and everything, and that's when Ed realized that his brother was missing.
Yeah, this is, like, really weird with the brother.
Yeah, yeah. So, a search starts, and it's nighttime, so they got flashlights, and they got a bunch of people helping, and they do find the body of his brother. It's unburned. It's got this bruising on the back of the head. The official cause of death was asphyxiation, which is actually not blunt force trauma.
Right. That's totally different.
Totally different. But the back of the head sort of suggests that he got bashed on the back of the head. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense.
What was the asphyxiation from? Like, was it smoke inhalation or was it, like, manual asphyxiation?
I believe it was supposed to have been for smoke inhalation.
Okay.
But, you know.
It's just really weird. That's
that
a weird
bash on the head,
circumstances.
Though.
Yeah. A bash on the head that no one really bothered to ask anything about. Like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Happens in the cases of smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
It's common. It's common. At the end of December of 1945, Ed's mom died after suffering two strokes that year. Ed's mom was the only person he was friends with and the only person he loved, so with her dead, he was essentially alone. Apparently, she died because he came into contact with a woman who was a little bit too forward for her taste.
Oh my God.
Like one of his buddies that he ended up getting somehow, it was like his wife or something, was a little bit too friendly. Like she talked to him or something.
Right.
And that just sent Ed's mom over the fucking edge.
Like, what the fuck is the matter with this woman? Like, it's like you're just totally, like, you're really making an effort to make your kid, like, totally fucked up.
Yes.
And then just leaving him to his own devices because you give yourself a fucking stroke over your fucking own bullshit.
Yeah. Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Here's where we get to Ed getting in trouble, really. Up until this point, no one knew he was really breaking any laws. He had been breaking into graveyards and digging up corpses of women.
Never had sex with them, though.
Never fucked them. But he had been doing that.
Smelled too bad.
One morning, a local hardware store owner called Bernice Warden went missing. The last receipt that had been written by her was to Ed Gein.
Old Eddie.
Oh, that's so funny. His name's Ed, like Eddie from It, with the overbearing mother.
I wonder if maybe that was, I mean, he never did anything in the movie like Ed Gein did afterwards, but maybe it's sort of a nod in that direction. Stephen King did write It.
You can find the hand of Ed Gein on so many cinematic works.
Oh, yes.
Which we'll get into.
The cops found him, arrested him, and searched his property.
Just all based off the receipts?
Well, yeah, they he was the last one to see her, and so they went and they found him. And they could arrest him. They had probably, I mean, last one, she's dead now.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
You can definitely arrest someone because of that. You can hold him for up to 24 hours, right?
They
or 48, something like that.
They must have had maybe a feeling about
Ed.
Ed.
Yeah.
Just because usually, I mean, it's last, you question them, like, well, what time did you last see them? Like, when...
Well, I'm sure that's basically how it went.
You
I'm
got
sure what
it.
Happened
it's
is
just,
the cops,
yeah.
They showed up because they knew where he was staying or whatever, and they're like, Ed! And he was like, I didn't do it! And they're like, okay, you're under arrest. Or something
either
like that.
Either that, or it's just like, what the fuck is up with that lampshade?
Right, well, he's not arrested at his home.
He's not arrested at his home?
No,
damn.
No, he wasn't at his home. He was at, like,
I was
a
thinking
nearby...
maybe they got some vibe, but, you know, they just get a tiny crack of, like, a little peek into his living room, and it's just like, the fuck is that?
No, that wasn't until they showed up to his house.
Yeah.
Which they did shortly after arresting him.
All right.
And what they found there was, well fucking horrible.
They found Warden's decapitated body in a shed, hung up like a deer, and, yeah, dressed as one.
Yep. So that means that she had no more guts. She was hung upside down so that the blood would have drained out of her body. Just like one does when one's in the field and they kill a deer. They don't want to drag all that extra weight back, so they get rid of most of the weight.
I really just can't imagine doing that to, like, a human person. Like, what the fuck?
Right? Yeah. But that is not where the horror stopped. Also on the property, they found fragmented and whole human bones, human skin upholstering some chairs, 9 vulvas in a shoebox. A lampshade of human face skin.
Oh my God.
Human skull bowls. A corset made from the skin of a woman's torso.
What? It was a corset?
Yep.
Like, what kind of... What did he use for the boning? Like...
Probably ribs.
Ugh.
I mean, they're sort of already there.
I mean, that's just grotesque as fuck.
Yeah. He also had a mask made out of woman flesh.
Oh, Jesus.
And he had a full woman suit, so he could dress up as
like
a woman.
Like Buffalo Bill fucking...
Yep.
Woman skin.
Which, of whom we'll get into.
Yes.
Not like he got into his victims, but nevertheless.
Oh, there's the belt made from female human nipples.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Jesus.
Yep. Nipple belt.
Nipple belt, that's right.
You can
right.
find that
belt.
All over the internet. Some of the skin, skulls, and whatnot of bodies he'd exhumed from the local cemetery. He'd just pop by and dig up some newly buried bodies for his own purposes. He didn't fuck them, though, as we said before, because they smelled too bad.
Really? That's why he had the 9 vulvas in a box under his bed?
Yeah, you know?
Like, hidden and everything. Like, I mean, he's got fucking chairs. He's got furniture made out of human skin. But he hides the vulvas in a box under his bed. But he's not fucking them.
Probably because of whatever his mother instilled in him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and too, he said the smell, but I guarantee you, when this guy got arrested and word gets out about what they found there, there is definitely some drugstore clerk saying, like, I knew something that was up when he started buying up all the Summer's Eve. Like, and his mom's been dead for a while, so. Yep.
Did they have that shit back in the 1950s?
What, like douches? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've had those around forever. Back then.
I think they used like Lysol
at some point. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes, Lysol.
Not mace.
Not just a little vinegar down. And water. That's all you need.
Yeah, yeah. Ed Gein was arraigned on a single count of first-degree murder in November of 1957, where he entered the plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. He was diagnosed as schizophrenic and sent off to what's now called Dodge Correctional Institution, but what was then called Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, as he was not found to be fit to stand trial. I like the second name better than the first. It sounds like...
Oh, yeah. Anything that has criminally insane in the title.
It's like, very that's... Batman-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
11 years later, he was finally deemed able to stand trial, which he did. It lasted 1 week, and there was no jury, at the request of the defense. The judge heard from doctors, prosecutors, and Gein's defense.
I bet they didn't want a jury.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, like, God.
It was probably difficult to find anyone who could be unbiased.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
That is some depraved shit right there.
Yeah, I'm sure these poor cops were scarred for the rest of their lives from it.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. Can you imagine like having like catalog every single piece of that evidence, right, of which there was like a massive abundance?
Oh, Jesus.
It wasn't just like a couple of things here and there. It's just like, you know, here's 9 vulvas in a box under the fucking bed. Oh, here's my human skull bones. Here's my mask. Here's my skin suit. Here's my furniture. Here's my nipple belt. I mean, oh my God, it just keeps going on and on and on.
He had a whole
like Etsy like yeah. shop going on. It's like repurposed humans.
There you go.
He was crafty.
He was crafty. He was very crafty. In the end, he was found not guilty by reason of insanity, and they sent him back to the place where he'd been since he was caught. This is where he would remain until he died. They only tried him for one murder, and he also admitted to killing Mary Hogan. She had been missing since 1954, and her face was found in a paper bag, and her head in a box at Gein's house.
What the fuck? So her, like, face, he just kept her faceless head?
In a box.
In a box.
Yeah.
But, like, her actual face was, like, in a paper bag.
Yeah.
Like how do you cut somebody's fucking face off? Like, you have to just be, like, so detached from other human things.
Steady hand.
God, you guys are fucking sick. Like, you had to be, like, really detached from other human beings to do something like that.
Yeah.
Cut someone's, like, kill somebody, cut their fucking face off, or even dig them up dead and, like, cut someone's dead face off. Fucking kidding me? Oh.
He did say that he went to the cemetery and turned around without a corpse more times than he went there and came back with a corpse.
Probably because, I mean, that takes a little time to, like, dig somebody up and then, like, get their body out and put it in your fucking pickup truck or whatever the fuck and drive it back to your house.
Well,
he did it so many times. Like, clearly he was careful.
He'd say he'd go into some kind of trance, and sometimes he would wake up before the deed was done, and then he'd, you know, turn around and head
yeah,
home.
Yeah, sure. You know what? That is such bullshit.
Yeah, that's just absolute bullshit.
This is what the time he felt most alive, like. He doesn't black any of this out. It's like his favorite part of fucking life. You don't do that kind of shit unless you, like, really, really like it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just really needed to craft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, it's a lot cheaper than going to, you know, Joann's.
Yeah.
Crafting supplies are expensive, even in the 50s. Ed died in 1984 from the lung cancer. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
God.
No. Nope.
Fucking freak.
Which actually apparently is like demeanor was that of just very nice and friendly and helpful and
oh yeah. Yeah, that Midwest politeness.
Yeah, upon being asked you know, about the death masks, apparently he was more than happy to explain the process of, you know, peeling
exactly
the skin
how
off and how you
do it.
Yeah.
Ugh, in graphic detail. Just without batting an eyelash, I'm sure.
No doubt.
A real born teacher, that one. Well, there have been many, many movies. Well, not many, many, but several movies that have taken...
taken borrowed bits here and there.
Borrowed bits. That's a funny way. Yeah, he took bits. Other people take bits from him. Yeah, you know, gained influence from certain characters. And we'll talk about these movies a little bit. So the first one we're going to talk about is Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Which came out in 1960. The book came out, I believe, in 1959.
So this is, like, pretty shortly after all that shit went down, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Like, right after. And from IMDb, the synopsis is, a Phoenix secretary embezzles $40,000 from her employer's client, goes on the run, and checks into a remote motel run by a young man under the domination of his mother.
That's
yeah,
right.
Some familiar themes there.
Exactly. Dominating mother. Crazy person.
Grave robber.
Grave robber.
Cross-dresser.
I guess Ed didn't really... I mean, he dressed as a woman, but more as a woman and not
yeah.
just in women's clothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like his mother. That's what like Norman... That's what old Norman liked to do.
Yep, yep.
Dressed up like his mother, and he had his mother all like her body all like freaking
taxidermied
downstairs. It's fucked up because he liked to like do it with like oh his birds, like he would preserve like the dead birds and stuff and mount them.
Yeah,
that's
fucking gross.
Crafty,
yeah, crafty, creepy, crafty and creepy.
Anthony Perkins, he was pretty good at. Just being like the nice, quiet psychopath.
And then that spawned, there's several psychos, weren't there?
Yeah, I think there's like,
yeah, but they, I mean, they all
three
were like
sequels after that.
They all sucked. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like the original.
No, I mean, the original was just,
that is like creepy as fuck. Even
well,
to this day.
Hitchcock, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
yeah
Hitchcock.
That guy.
Just,
love that guy.
It's yeah. one of those iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Films, especially, you know, some of the sequences in the movie itself.
He was a master.
Studied in film schools, probably still today.
Oh, I'm sure.
There was a TV show called Bates Motel.
I've only caught an episode or two of that.
It was a pretty good show. I saw the first couple seasons of it. It was definitely very creepy with the whole mother-son relationship there. That was they really got that down and a shy and weird and awkward childhood part. He was very much that. It was played pretty well. I'd say it's worth a watch. And then of course we've got House of a Thousand Corpses,
God.
The Devil's Rejects, and is Three from Hell the third part of those?
Yeah.
And those are also
yeah, showing some.
I just remember The Devil's Rejects being like just so graphically, like I mean, it was not bad. It was like well made, but it just so.
Yeah, it's intense in some parts.
Oh man, yeah.
But yeah,
that's
the,
like that's a nice way
with,
of putting it. Oh my god, I just never. I was like, I can never see that again. That's fine.
Just the once.
Just the once was good. That's good.
Yeah, with Otis, with the face masks, and even in House of a Thousand Corpses in the Captain Spaulding's murder ride, there's a little Ed Gein segment, which actually the actor Bill Moseley, he plays Ed Gein in the segment. He also is the one that plays Otis.
Oh, really?
And he also plays the news reporter.
Oh, funny.
That, yeah.
And Otis also uses people's skins for crafty things in the movie.
Yeah,
is that correct?
That's...
And those movies are basically just about kids who go and get stuck and go into basically a house of horrors. Is that the basic premise of those movies?
That's basically the first one.
Yeah, I feel like
the Devil's Rejects was more with them on the run. Yeah. And
that one takes place directly after the events of House of a Thousand Corpses? Or
it's like 6 or 7 months after.
Okay.
And then the Three from Hell picks up like with them like surviving the big shootout at the end of Devil's Rejects. Spoiler alert.
Right. It's only like a 15-year-old movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Jeez.
And, you know, their trial and prison and, you know, eventual escape and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, yeah.
All right.
And then,
what else we got?
You can take it back to 1974 with Deranged, which
Confessions
is...
Confessions of a Necrophile.
Which is basically a more, like, pretty accurate account of, you know, what happened. He's got the overbearing mother, and, you know, she dies, and it leaves him in a, you know, very lonely state where he's, you know, grave robbing and, you know, murder.
Yeah. Murder.
Yeah, I mean, that one's it's pretty good, like, old school, like, it's worth a watch.
Is it almost a documentary? It's like a dramatization?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much so.
Do they change the names, or do they even use the same names?
It's the, change the names, it's Ezra Cobb.
That's right, that's
right.
He's
your middle-aged man in the rural community in the Midwest.
How old was Ed Gein when he was caught?
Well, he was born in 1909 and he was caught in like 1957 or something.
Wow.
So in his 40s?
In his 40s. That's so old. Yeah, not. God. Puck. But okay, I was just curious.
And then back in, of course, in 1974. You got Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre taking heavy influence.
With his skin mask.
Yeah, the skin masks and, you know, the general...
Hence the name Leatherface.
General cannibalism of the family.
Right.
I don't think Ed ever used a chainsaw. Like, clearly that was, like, very detailed work he did. Like, a chainsaw would just make a mess of your, you know, skin chair.
You gotta make it sensational and slashery for the crowds. I mean, this was...
Well, it was pretty terrifying. I mean, Leatherface with a fucking chainsaw running at you. Like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, that scene where it's in the... when they're out in the dark and you just hear the chainsaw and they're looking around with the flashlight. And good stuff.
And that's just another sort of innocence get caught up in the same...
Yeah, you get to some place that sucks... Totally, like, more than any place has ever sucked before,
and then sucks worse.
Yeah. And then you're trying, like, not to be, like, fucking horribly killed and to escape.
Then, let's see, the Buffalo Bill, definitely taking some influence from Silence of the Lambs.
The film came out in 1991. The novel came out in 1988.
Now, is this one... This is one you haven't seen. You haven't seen Silence of the Lambs,
have you? I have not seen Silence of the Lambs.
Fuck?
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's the best one.
I know, I've seen Red
good.
Dragon. I've seen Hannibal. I've even seen some of the show Hannibal, like probably the first 4 or 5 episodes. With, what's his name, Mads Nicholson or whatever?
Sure.
Sure.
The guy who was Lashif in...
Oh, okay.
In Casino Royale.
Yeah. Okay.
But I haven't seen Silence of the Lambs. It's basically what it's about is the FBI is going to talk to a serial killer, Hannibal Lecter, to try and catch another one.
Yeah, which is Buffalo Bill, which is the guy who likes the fucking skin suit.
Which there's actually kind of a parallel to another, I believe that's kind of the same thing with how they, was it? The Green River killer that they talked to, like, Ted Bundy, the agent, with, and they profiled.
Oh, I know Ted Bundy gave him, like, tips on stuff. I think the best one was that he would probably return to the scene of the crime. repeatedly. And right. So that they kind of changed their tactics with trying to find old Green River Gary that way, like kind of monitoring crime scenes and shiz like that.
The Agent Starling-Dr. Lecter relationship was kind of based on a real thing that
happened with.
It was like they were trying to...
They were trying to catch like the Green River Killers, so they talked to Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Sort of like, what would you do in this situation sort of thing.
Like, well, I'd go back to the scene of the crime and have sex with the corpses.
Isn't that what the Mind Killer show on Netflix is about?
Mindhunter?
Mindhunter, yes.
Yes, and it's so good. You should totally watch it. I read the book, too. Like,
oh, it's a book as well.
Yeah, it's like written by the actual guy, the profiler guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he wrote he like had a co-writer, but yeah, he wrote the book. He's written a whole series of books, and that's what they made the show off of, was one of his books called Mindhunter.
I can't find anything that back up my claim, but I'm pretty sure that was another significance, which...
Well, I know, I definitely remember the fact that they got that information from Bundy, that
right.
He'd go back to the scene of the crime.
So it stands to reason that they would have also included that in the film. I mean, when did they catch the Green River Killer?
Oh, it took a bit.
Yeah, it took a while.
I think it was...
It was like 2000
yeah,
something.
Yeah, 2000.
But that relationship was something that would have happened before the movie or during the movie's filming?
It was, I think, before... So I think like even the... before the book.
Okay, so mm-hmm. So that was a thing that happened in the early 80s. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, well then it stands to reason that if it was something that was known back then, that it was probably something that they put in there because they knew about it, and it's a good plot point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not where old Eddie's influence shines through. No.
No, it's the Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
It's well, he has like a wig. He has like a hairpiece.
He has the hairpiece, and he's making the woman's suit, and we all remember the Goodbye Horses.
Oh, yeah.
Dance scene.
Yes, and then, of course, there's every meme with the put the lotions on the skin or it gets the hose again thing.
Oh, yeah. That's big. That's
and
big.
Even Dr. Lecter's escape, you know, he's using coming with the face mask.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was like such an intense part of the movie.
Yeah.
It still gets me going, like, you know, every time, you know, he just slowly rises up and like pulls the fucking skin mask off. It's just like, oh, shit.
Shit just got real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also been a couple movies just based on Ed Gein as well.
Oh, yes, definitely.
There's a
common with serial killers
just called,
these days. I guess he wasn't really even really much of a serial killer. It's just his crimes were so fucking
grisly and brutal because he only killed two people.
Maybe three that he admitted to.
Yeah, he admitted to. I was gonna say I think there's probably a few more that he just never got busted for. They didn't have any evidence. It's just some chick that went missing hitchhiking. You know.
Yeah, that could well be the case.
The old bash on his brother's head.
Yep, that's suspicious.
But, you know, whatever. Let's forget about that.
Yeah.
Because everyone else apparently did, too.
Right. I think just what they found when could prove was, like, enough. Everyone was just like, dude, I don't even want to.
Yeah. There's one just called Ed Gein, came out in 2001. It's called In the Light of the Moon Elsewhere, but it was released in the United States and Australia. It's just Ed Gein.
Interesting.
There's one in 2007 that came out called Ed Gein, The Butcher of Plainfield, which stars Kane Hodder, who, if you're into horror movies, you should recognize that name, played Jason in a number of the movies.
He played, and like, that guy is actually pretty big, right?
Yeah, he's really big. So it's kind of a weird choice. I need to watch it because I want to. I'm curious
see. This is just what movies do. This is what Hollywood does. They make it a little bit extra.
Right.
It'll be scarier if Ed Gein. I don't even think so. I think him being like this huge guy,
just a little plain dude, that just makes it that much more terrifying.
Yeah, with like kind of a lazy eye.
Oh my god! It's always like the quiet, slow ones, and it's just like oof.
Suddenly he's shot you in the fucking face in your hardware store and...
Oh, God, and he's dragging your fucking body back to his fucking house to, like, make some fucking lampshades. Put your fucking vulva in a box. Jesus Christ.
Yep. Put your face in a bag.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Skull in a box.
Let you sit there.
That's what you do. I've never watched the American Horror Story series, but I guess from the Asylum one, the doctor, that's from what I've read, is a little bit Ed Gein-ish. Like,
oh, okay.
I watched the first season of that, and I didn't find it overly impressive. I understand that each season is its own deal.
I like the first season. That's my favorite one, is the ghost, is the haunted house, the murder house.
But I think it's something where he's some medical institution, and then it's revealed that he's, you know, basically, you know, making, you know, skinning people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's the doc. There's two doctors, but it's the one that you think is, like, a good guy doctor, like, the whole time.
Right.
Oh, of course,
like,
it is.
Until, like, at the end, you find out he's, like, totally not.
Totally off the rails.
There's also some music that is taken some inspiration from old Geeny Weeny.
Oh, yeah. A lot of death metal.
That's
shocking.
I know. No way.
Shocking.
Death metal?
Know. You know, old Macabre, and
that's a whole different, like, category.
Cannibal Corpse called Addicted to Vaginal Skin.
Oh my god, that is gross!
Yeah, well,
vulva's in a box.
Dead Skin Mask by Slayer, the classic. Tad has a song called Nipple Belt.
Oh, jeez.
Blind Melon.
Interesting.
Their song Skinned.
Ah, like, I mean...
And Susie and the Banshees, their song Skin.
I'm really starting to hate the word skin now. Like, it now just is so representative of something awful.
I could probably make it really worse for you, a skin organ.
Oh my... What the fuck?
Because like, it is an organ.
Right.
And so it really... Really, yeah.
Nothing to Gain by Mudvayne. That's also another inspired. There's also a band just called Ed Gein.
Oh, that's
is it a punk
great.
Band or is it a metal band?
The metal band.
Metal band.
So, Gein and the Grave Robbers is a surf band.
That's strange.
Yeah, they're good though.
Yeah. I mean, I like surf music. It's cool.
Just, you know,
just
reverb.
Not what I would have expected, you know?
No,
like, absolutely no. I was expecting it to be like more. I was expecting it to be like a punk band or something. It's, nope, just instrumental surf music. Like, okay,
all right.
Sweet. Here we
this
go.
This works too.
Here we go. Hang fucking loose.
So yeah, old Ed just seeping into the public unconsciousness.
Yep, in some very, very popular mainstream ways, and then some less popular ways.
Yep, but
he's
still,
everywhere.
He persists.
His touch is everywhere.
Like Thanos, he is inevitable. So I guess with that, we'll thank you all for your patronage. We're sorry for this episode being late, but, you know.
There were technical difficulties.
This time, no technical difficulties.
Yay!
Hooray!
So thank you very much for joining us, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
And we will talk to you next time.
Stay strange.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our Patreon episode. That's generally what they sound like. Again, without the ads. But, you know, you gotta pay the bills somehow, I guess.
That's right.
So if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/strangerthanpodcast, where for $2, you will get our regular episodes ad-free. And then for $5, you get an episode like you've just heard, ad-free, plus our regular episodes ad-free. So with that, we'll talk to you next time.
And stay strange.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.